all poetry, I've said this before, involves some tension and some resolution between matters of confinement on the one hand and expansion on the other. And Dickinson's handling of her hymn meters, of her peculiar rhymes, and of her very awkward syntax and imagery, none of which was much understood or appreciated by the very few readers who read her poems in manuscript during her lifetime, attests to her extraordinary and idiosyncratic originality. And let me flip now to a famous poem by Dylan Thomas, Fern Hill, from 1946. It's a poem of nostalgia for childhood. Fern Hill is proof, I think, that words that sound alike can mean alike. That is, rhyme brings ideas and feelings, as well as sounds, into a harmonious conjunction with one another. Here is the first stanza of this lengthy poem of nostalgia. Now, as I was young and easy under the apple boughs about the lilting house, and happy as the grass was green, the night above the dingle starry, time let me hail and climb golden in the heydays of his eyes, and honored among wagons I was prince of the apple towns, and once below a time I lordly had the trees and leaves trail with daisies and barley down the rivers of the windfall light. In that first stanza, it may be hard to hear unless you have remarkably good ears, the end words all have very audible vowel rhymes, but they're not full rhymes. The effect enriches the poem. In other words, boughs rhymes with towns, green with leaves, starry with barley, climb, eyes, and light. And this is not even to mention the kind of internalized sound effects, the alliteration, the consonants, the assonance, all of which exist in fullness in the interior of the poem. Thomas, as I've said before, is like Hopkins in that he has a deep and strong musical resourcefulness. And he is writing English here, somewhat, I would say, varied by his native Welsh. He's writing English here that had never been written before. Since I have mentioned Hopkins, I want to turn to one of his great sonnets, a poem called God's Grandeur. This is a sonnet. It's a religious sonnet. It's also, I suppose, a kind of early ecological warning, but that's not the first claim on our attention here. Here is God's grandeur. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, have trod, have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, oh, morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with, bright wings. The poem is in the form of a Petrarchan sonnet. It has an octave with an A-B-B-A, A-B-B-A rhyme scheme, followed by a sestet with, in this case, two rhymes. All of the rhymes are perfect. All of the rhymes are monosyllabic. That's one thing one notices. Next, the internal rhyme of the poem develops and maintains, reflects, its momentum and is used for ironic as well as serious purposes. That is, the tedium implicit in generations have trod, have trod, have trod. There's something almost onomatopoeic about that. It sounds as though the heavy tread is being brought to bear on our ears as well as on our eyes.